Morning, God bless everybody. I'm honored here to be here before you guys, and I hope you enjoy this morning's message. As Pastor said, August, this month is the month for the children, and I wanted to ask all the kids here, who's excited about going back to school? With a round of applause or cheering? It's pretty quiet, right? How many parents are excited that school's starting again? So I get excited when I think, hey, yeah, my kids are going to go back to school. But then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a teacher. My wife's a teacher. We got to go back to school as well. So, but a little bit about me before I get started. And many of you know, but many of you don't know that I'm a teacher. I've been teaching in the Jersey City Public Schools for, it's going to be my 22nd year. Thank you. And my wife also, my beautiful wife, is also a teacher for 24 years. So she's been teaching longer. So, you know, I teach history. I've coached for 8 years. I coached my son here in Kearney. I've coached in Jersey City. And I'm always around kids. I'm mainly around high schoolers because of, 14 to 18-year-olds. So what I want to talk about this morning is really what I've seen over the last 22 years of teaching has really not been good in terms of the godliness or the lack of godliness in the children today. And not that it was perfect before, but I've seen a huge decline in kids, whether it be attending church or just praying or loving God. They seem to be more lovers of themselves. And so really today's sermon is not actually for the children, it's actually for the parents, because that's actually where that comes from. So what I want to talk about is raising godly children in an increasingly godless nation. So, and as Pastor mentioned, I'm the youth leader here, and we started a couple Fridays ago, so I hope some of you guys that I see here, I hope to see you guys coming on Fridays. And that's actually one of the suggestions that I'll talk about later as to what you can do as a parent to help your child grow up loving God. And what I want to do, because I teach history and I can't help but put history into everything that I do, another thing I want to mention is that even though life has actually gotten easier for us, if you look back at history, we live such easier lives than we lived hundreds of years ago, thousands during the time of the Bible. We have such pampered, easy lives, and yet we seem to be less godly than those people and moving away and away from them. So I want to go into a little bit of history here, and just in this country's history, and if you want to put the first slide up, so again, being a teacher, I have to put pictures up. These are pictures of children, probably the age of many of our children here. And they're not at school, they're working. Because back in the day, if you could walk and you could understand things, you went to work. And whether it be basic chores in the house or going out into the fields, a lot of the early people in this country were agriculture, they were farmers, agrarian. So they would go out and people had like 20 kids and that was their farm workers. So that was their, they had little games and little time, and actually they'd go to church. That probably was their favorite thing to do because they didn't have to physically go out and do manual labor. When we became more industrial, more machinery and mass production, you had child labor. You had kids working in factories, and I mean, there's some really pictures there where kids could just fall through and die because they'd get mangled and things like that. So I want the young people here to see that you have it a lot easier now than you used to have it, okay? Because a lot of that started to change as school became mandatory, okay? Public schools became mandatory in the country. So if you can go to the next slide, all right? And these are some of the early schools where just one-room schools, and they kind of taught kids of all different ages, sometimes like what Sandy and I do, where we get kids who are 8 years old and, 5 years old in the same thing. But notice what some of those kids are actually doing as well. Does anybody notice? They're praying in public school because we used to be able to pray in public schools. And so it wasn't just you pray at home or you pray at church, but you could also pray in school. So that's also part of the problem that we're seeing. Okay? And really, the modern kid, and I'll focus on teenager, is in the 50s, where parents had enough money and technology got to the point where things were mass-produced, and really you could actually hang out. Kids were able to hang out for the first time. They were able to say, oh, I don't need a job. My parents have money to give me, and I can go out and drive the car and go to the movies and go to the drive-in theater and eat McDonald's and things like that. So that really didn't start that long ago, okay? And since then, life in terms of, you know, physical things has been getting easier, okay? So even though life has gotten easier, it's actually become much harder to raise children today. And that really, it shouldn't make sense, but it does. And we'll get into that. So what does the Bible say? So let's focus first on children, okay? And we'll get into the parenting thing. But what are children supposed to do? What is the role of the child? So if we go, if you can take out your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. And really, kids, you have a really simple job. It's really easy. And I'll read through the whole verse because it also talks about, you know, the husband and the wife and the parents. And pastor's done an amazing job talking about really the first two, about wives and husbands. So in Colossians, if everybody's there, in Colossians 3:18 to 20, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. And children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So again, and I put it in italics there because that's the one I want to focus on today. One of many. So, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And the reason for that is because if they know God through their parents, it'll be easier for them to fulfill their role. Okay, it's easier for children to fulfill their role if they know the Lord and are walking with Him by the Holy Spirit. All right, so a child has to come into faith with Jesus in order to kind of fit that verse. Okay, it's not saying obey your parents, and if your parents are doing bad things and saying bad things, to obey them. This is in the context of assuming your parents are godly people. Obey your parents. So, another verse, and we can go to the next one, is Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. All right, so the role, again, is emphasized. It's very simple. Children are supposed to be obedient to parents in all things. All right, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well in you and you may live long on earth. So, obeying your parents in the Lord, okay? In the Lord, not obeying your parents promoting bad things. Then you don't want to obey your parents in that, in bad things, if they're doing bad things. Okay, so the role of the child is actually quite simple. They're following the parent. Okay, so the parent has to essentially be the parent in the house. And that's not happening a lot nowadays. Not that I could see in my experience. So what I want to talk about is kind of how our society has changed over the years. So all those pictures you saw, there were a lot of problems in society. There were a lot, I mean, kids going to work in dangerous facilities and dying. I mean, it's horrible stuff. But we were a biblically literate country at the time. So mostly everybody went to church. There was prayer at home before you ate, before you went to bed. These kids knew these prayers inside and out. And what has changed over the years is that the role of the parent has changed. And society has been pushing a certain idea of what a parent is supposed to do. Not, obviously not what the Bible says you should do as a parent, but what society, secular society is saying. All right, so what we want as Christians is America to be biblically literate, okay? That the understanding is that we're born sinners, okay? We do bad things, we do evil things, and that's from birth. So evil actions are the result of a sinful heart. Children were born as sinners, and discipline would be needed to hold that sin in check, okay? But what we have is kind of what I call this free, roam-free approach, okay? It's our society telling us that we have to change the way we look at children, okay? So society now views people as good, as essentially good. We're essentially good. We're born good, and kind of everything is natural, and it's supposed to be that way. It's not sinful. It's good. Whatever they do is good, okay? And another verse that I put in my notes, I don't have it up there, but Proverbs 29:15, which I know growing up worked pretty well with me, was the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And that's the truth. I see this on a daily basis. And you're kind of left to make your own decisions and do what you want, and you can't tell me what to do, and I can make up my own rules. That's very dangerous, and that has led to a lot of problems. So the roam free approach is this, okay? And this is kind of taken over psychologists and even in schools. We see it in the schools. We see it in schools where it's kind of like, oh, you know, it's okay. He's a kid, and you know, it's all right. They want to redefine what is good and what is evil, okay? And we see this a lot now, where things that we know are bad are actually being promoted as good. And what is good is being said that is being told that is bad. This allows people to do whatever they want and not feel guilty about it. All right, guilt is when God is telling us that we're doing something wrong. All right, so you have kids now that make up their own rules and they say, I'm gonna do what I want and I'm gonna decide whatever I wanna be. I'm a boy, I'm gonna be a girl. I'm gonna go to bed whenever I wanna go to bed. I'm gonna do homework whenever I wanna do homework. I'm gonna curse the teacher out. And there's no control at home. And that starts at a young age and obviously grows into, then it becomes very difficult in the teen years. The other thing that is happening now, and it's reinforced a lot by a lot of the parenting, is blame someone else when bad things happen. That's not my fault. It's your fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's, you know, which it could be in the long run, but it's pastor's fault. It's, you know, it's the police fault. It's so-and-so's fault, and not accepting responsibility. Okay, it's everybody else's fault. I used to teach summer school, and before I got into any of the, and these are kids that failed during the year, before I got into any of the lesson, the thing I wanted them to acknowledge is why they were there. So I would say, the first thing I would do is I'd say, why are you here? The teacher hated me, he failed me. I really passed, they just lied about my grade. And I spent a half an hour getting a lot of these kids to eventually say, yeah, you know what, I could have tried harder. I could have done better, it's my fault. Because you can't make change, you can't improve until you acknowledge that it's your fault, okay? And in that same respect, you cannot be a good parent unless you acknowledge that God needs to lead you. That a lot of it is you. It's not necessarily you. Ooh, you okay, buddy? That it's not. You have to parent through God, using God. So what's the result? Is increasingly becoming a more godless country. We are living easier lives, and yet we're moving further and further away from God. And I see that again from my perspective, because I deal with so many young people. I see it, I think, more than most. A lot of people who are not exposed to a lot of young people in their life, they, oh yeah, everything's fine. I've seen a dramatic shift in the last 20 years. All right, so problems increase as the child gets older. It may start out being small problems when they're younger, And then as they become teenagers and you know, adults, then obviously it becomes a big deal. But we see this a lot with social media now and teenagers. And, you know, I tell the youth all the time, and I tell my kids that, and I tell people in general, I said, if you don't worship God, you're going to worship yourself and whatever you want to do. And Catherine mentioned it, you know, a little bit in her prayer, is that if we spend so much time on certain things, we're actually worshiping those things instead of worshiping God. All right, so you got cheating, stealing, lying, and then, oh, it's not my fault, it's so-and-so's fault. And you see that they're on the wrong path. So, what does that mean for the parents? Well, that means that parents must do more to raise godly children. So, if you can put the next slide, if we go to Proverbs 22, chapter 22, verse 6, and I'll give you guys some time, because what is the solution to raising godly children? And you're going to make mistakes, and I make mistakes, and my wife makes mistakes, and we do that all the time, because we're human. But we need to use the Bible. We need to use God's word to help us. And there are other things, obviously, that the church provides, which I'll talk about, that can help you raise your children, because it is getting harder. The world is attacking your children, whether you know it or not, from when they're little to some of the things you see in cartoons to some of the clothes they put out there for you to buy, the music, the movies, even schools, even certain schools. They're there to attack you, attack your children, to undermine, to try to take your children away from your authority. There are so many things now that are legal that the government can take your kid away for doing certain things which is good for them. So if we look at Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And again, this is obviously based on training up a child in the ways of God, in the ways of the Lord, in the Bible. And we use the phrase planting that seed, and that happened with me when I was younger, that I grew up in the church, and I kind of went away. College, very difficult time. There's a lot of ways that your children are attacked in college. But that seed was planted within me. It was part of my foundation, and I did not stray too far. I came back because it was in me. It started to grow in me. So we have to train our children in that way. And that as we get older, as they get older, they will not depart from it. They'll come back, or hopefully not leave in the first place. And then if we look at Joshua, chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. And this is kind of the key here, because what are we teaching our kids? What is the way to raise your kid? And why should a kid obey you in the first place? Because if you use this book, if you use the Bible, this book of the law shall not depart your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So if parents become stronger in the Lord and spend more time reading and meditating on it, and spending time learning it in Bible study, in Sunday school, it will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And that's not only for you, but that's also for your children. Your children will be prosperous. Your life will be prosperous. Your life will be successful. I again, as a young person growing up, I made a lot of bad decisions, but I had my mother praying over me all the time. My father, my grandmother, that woman probably prayed more than anybody I knew, always praying over her grandchildren, always praying to protect us, to keep us safe, to help us make wise decisions. And that has to come from you as the parent, to help your children grow in a godly way. Now, a little bit on the other side, you don't want to make your kids prisoners. And you don't want to scare them or make them fear in the Lord, and that the only reason they're coming to church and they're praying is because they're afraid. Because that, I've seen that, and I've seen kids leave the church, and I've seen kids, I have relatives that have left because they felt that they were so caged and controlled, and it was fear, and it was fear, and it's fear, and it's really not, it's love. And actually that goes hand in hand, because, just a basic example, I love my parents. And because I love my parents, I feared disappointing them and making mistakes, and I love the Lord. And it's love that drives my relationship with him. But I do fear him because I love him. So we shouldn't use fear as a motivator with young people, and guilt and things like that. And they always have to know that they're loved, and they always have to know that, and this is the thing we talk about in youth, that you're gonna make mistakes and you're gonna fall, but we all do, and God is always there to love you and to forgive you and to pick you back up. But you have to trust in him, and you have to have a relationship with him. So for that approach is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The admonition, anybody know what admonition means? It's in the authority of the Lord, in the authority, the wisdom of the Lord. So through that, through him, raising your child through him and his authority and his wisdom will help you avoid kind of turning your child into what you want them to be rather than what God wants them to be. A lot of times we're tough with our own kids, and we think we want them to do certain things, and we push them really hard. And, no, you're going to do this and this and that, and that's actually not necessarily what God wants them to do. God may have a different path for them, one that you may not think you want it to be. So this becomes a big problem when kids leave that cage. So if you cage your kids, and oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. And obviously the stronger they are in the Lord, the better capable they are to go out into the world. And you definitely don't want to put your kid out there and give them too much freedom if they're not strong in the foundations of the Lord. But they're going to have to leave at some point. And this is where that kind of caged approach becomes, and I've seen this as well in school. We have many Christian students in our public school. And I see the ones that stay strong in the Lord and the ones that get caught up because their parents just never let them do anything. They never let them go out. They kept them all cooped up, and they couldn't handle the pressure. And they, a lot of times, will go wild in high school or in college when they get that freedom. All right, so for those kids, serving Christ to them is more of a responsibility and duty rather than a privilege or an opportunity. They don't understand grace or forgiveness. They kind of just understand fear. So, but definitely the first way is the way that I see more of. I don't see too much of this. So, to kind of finish up, is what do we need to do as parents? Because that's really what this is about, especially as school is about to start. So, be stronger in the Lord. You have to pray and study the Word of God. And how do you do that? Well, you can read the Bible, obviously, spend more time reading the Bible, but and pray for guidance and protection for your kids. But a lot of times I'll read the Bible and I there's a lot of things I don't understand, and that's where pastor comes in. And that's where many people who come to this church who have studied the Bible a lot more than me or authorities, those are the people that I can ask. Or whether it's Sister Jumi in Sunday school, bringing up examples that I say, oh yeah, what do I do about that? And she explains it in the Bible in a way that I can understand. Corporate prayer. So being more involved in the church and being more involved around people who know the Bible well will help you learn the Bible, will help you understand the Word of God. Another thing you can do is be part of the body of Christ. Be involved in, there's always activities going on here at church. And a lot of times, like when we went to the lake, we just were together as Christians in a church talking and having fun and things like that. And bring your kids with you, because a lot of times kids will have this kind of feeling that, oh, church is boring. We don't really do stuff. But we do a lot of stuff. We do a lot of things for kids. So bring your kids out in events and different ministries. All right. If you've already raised your children, be a mentor to those who have young children. And, you know, you have experience. I have a certain amount of experience. My oldest is 13. My youngest just turned 9. There are people here with way more experience than me. And they can help me and they can mentor me in you know, as members of the church. There are those with young ones. There are those that don't have children yet, but you can help be a mentor and get involved in ministries. And I know Pastor mentioned it the other day to us, but, you know, we're a family here in Christ, and we can help parent each other's kids. If we see our kids kind of getting out of control and doing bad things, you should correct that and not be afraid to correct that. Because that helps you raise your kids. I would hope if my children are doing something wrong that somebody helps correct that. What else? Youth service and children's church. It's a little self-promotion, but I mean, let's be honest. You know, every Friday, we started a couple weeks ago. I mean, I just the last two Fridays, we talked about friendship. The themes were friendship, loneliness. A lot of kids today, a lot of teenagers, they have access to all this social media info, but they feel lonely. They feel not connected to people. And then last Friday, we talked about peer pressure, which is one of the most dangerous things, and how it affects young people. And what does God say about peer pressure? And how do we fight peer pressure? These are practical things that a lot of times you won't be able to teach your kids. You need somebody to do it for you. And children's church as well. Okay, so it's hard to do it alone. Let God help you and let the church help you do this. And be parents and raise children in a godly way. And again, you're going to fail and you're going to fall, but God is there to pick you back up and forgive you, and your children will be better off for it. So, and that kind of brings my sermon to an end.